Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There were a lot of people hoping to vote for me, but were surprised to find that they no longer lived in the assembly district that they had been living in for years, if not decades. Brooklyn politics can be pretty rough, but that move was gangster.
That was Brooklyn Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries describing a classic case of gerrymandering following the 2000 census. Jeffries' political opponents drew his house out of a district that he sought to represent, a typical move, actually, in the once every 10-year redistricting wars that follow the census. So we're coming around to this point in the cycle again. Hakeem Jeffries appears in a new film called Gerrymandering, premiering this week at the Tribeca Film Festival. With the U.S. Census underway right now and with the political line set to be redrawn next year, the film is a timely reminder that our democracy is at stake when district maps are drawn. Joining me now are Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries, representing Central Brooklyn, and the director of the film, Gerrymandering, Jeff Reichert. Welcome to both of you.
Morning.
Thank you.
And Assemblyman Jeffries, the incumbent in the district, we'll use you as an example, and then we'll get to the broader concept here and why it's so important. The incumbent in the district you were running to represent at that time literally carved you out of the district. Tell us that story.
Well, you know, I had run against a well-entrenched 20-year incumbent in 2000 who was backed by the Brooklyn Democratic machine, had the support of the Albany establishment, and I was an insurgent. And I did, I think, better than anyone expected, got over 40% of the vote, and in many ways shocked the incumbent, shocked the establishment, and was gearing up for another run in 2002, which happened, by the way, to be the time at which the lines were being redrawn pursuant to the census and the redistricting process. And I remember in early 2002, I think it was February, I literally went to bed in the 57th Assembly District, and I woke up the next morning in the 50th Assembly District, and I hadn't moved at all. What essentially had happened was that the lines were redrawn, and my apartment was cut out of the district by a block.
So do you now represent that new district?
I do now represent the 57th Assembly District. In 2005, a year prior to the date of the election, I moved out of the apartment, sold the apartment.
You moved back into the
district. Moved back into the district.
That you really identified with.
Yes.
All right. So, Jeff Reichert, for people who don't know, gerrymandering is when incumbent politicians draw district lines to preserve political power, basically, boiled down, you know, to its essence. The lines are supposed to be redrawn every 10 years for state and local districts and for congressional districts to reflect the changing population numbers. Tell me how you think it's supposed to work and why you think it's so destructive to our democracy the way it now works.
Well, I think to make it really clear for folks why they should care about district lines, I think I would say that gerrymandering is the most effective way of manipulating election, short of outright fraud. You can control so many things by how you draw those lines. You can set in place for a decade a kind of a playing field which will elect the same candidates over and over and over again. And I think when people feel that, you know, they look at these candidates and they feel, well, why does this person keep getting reelected? I'm not voting for him. I'd like to vote for somebody else. I'd like to find somebody new. Redistricting is a big culprit.
And listeners, we can take some phone calls on what you think districts should be based on. Should it reflect a diversity in terms of race, class, religion, etc.? Should it purely be geographical? 212-433-WNYC. How do you think district lines should be drawn? 212-433-9692. There are complexities here. I mean, we want to get racial balance to some degree in legislatures and in Congress. And if you just draw a lot of squares on a map, you're not necessarily going to do that. So that's one of the complicating factors for basic representation in our democracy. And we'll get into that. But you organized the film around the effort in California to pass Proposition 11, which was a redistricting reform effort that was supported by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it lost. Here is the governor making his case.
The legislators have picked the voters rather than the voters picking the politicians. But the problem with that is it doesn't create competition. And it's the same as if you have Michael Phelps being at the starting line in the Olympics and there are no other swimmers around, he wouldn't have broken all of those records, trust me. Competition creates performance, and this is what we need.
And correction, Prop 11 won.
It did, by a very, very, very slim margin, something like under 100,000 votes.
And what do you think is going to be different in California as a result? Is there going to be a different mix of Democrats and Republicans in the state legislature or in their congressional delegation? Or what other measurable difference?
Well, first, Prop 11 will not affect congressional districts. There was a move led by the congressional Democratic delegation, Nancy Pelosi, Waxman, Berman, those guys, to have Proposition 11 only apply to state legislative districts, which is, I think, in some ways in California where the big problem is. The reason why California can't get a budget is because the districts are locked in such a way that Republicans will always have just enough seats in the legislature to block any tax increase. Any sort of new budget proposed, any sort of, you know, increases in spending, the Republicans can always stop it.
But the Democratic congressional delegation launched the movement to save my gerrymandering, please.
kind of essentially, yes.
And they succeeded.
And there's actually a movement afoot to repeal Proposition 11 already. And it will be on the ballot in California in this November.
And Assemblyman, it is about capturing your base and dividing your opposition. The film gives a lot of examples of this in addition to your example. But the classic way that white men have redrawn districts in order to hold on to power is to divide up minority populations so that they are always a minority, thereby silencing the minority vote. But the Voting Rights Act, way back to the 1960s, is what really started to change that, right?
Absolutely. The Voting Rights Act does provide some measure of protection against gerrymandering that's based on racial isolation or trying to minimize the opportunity for African Americans or for Latino Americans or another racial minority to get elected. But in the broader context, we still have the problem of political gerrymandering, which in some instances benefits Democrats, in other instances benefits Republicans, but in all instances undermines democracy. And the great thing about the film is that Jeff has done a tremendous job of showing that in this particular area, the abuse can be even-handed. But at the end of the day, it's the voters who suffer. And we see that in New York State. With all the dysfunction that is talked about in this president and the public scrutiny, one of the reasons why I don't think we see the type of urgent action that one would expect is because many legislators feel comfortable in the districts that they themselves have drawn to get reelected.
But when does it go too far, Jeff? I mean, you want racial representation to be diverse. You don't want a Congress or a state legislature that's all white and minorities not to have any representation, because every larger geographical area you go to, they're still a minority. But we also get these absurd districts and a new kind of segregation where multiracial coalitions are not necessary to get elected.
Yeah, well, it's clear that we cannot accept having a legislature that doesn't look like the people that it represents. We can't have an all-white Congress. We can't have all-white state assemblies. So we do need to work to draw these districts to elect minority candidates. It's just fair. But at the same time, we need to also look at other factors like geography, communities of interest, traditional political boundaries, so we're not drawing districts that are stretching hundreds and hundreds of miles to sort of pick up pockets of minority communities and put them together just for the sake of electing a minority representative. I mean, these are the kind of fundamental trade-offs of democracy that we come into. You know, we'd like to have all of our districts be competitive because we'd like the idea of competitive elections. But if you do that, if every district in the country was competitive, we likely wouldn't elect minority candidates.
My guests on WNYC are Jeff Reichert, the director of a film that's now showing at the Tribeca Film Festival about the history of gerrymandering, and Brooklyn Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries is one of the subjects of that film for a way that he was gerrymandered out of the district that he was originally going to run for office in by the incumbent and the power of that incumbency a decade ago. Mark in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Brian. It's really interesting conversation, especially if you're a policy side aficionado. I have one question and a comment. The term gerrymandering, is that based upon New York clubhouse politics back in, you know, Tammany Hall? And my point that I want to bring up is an unintended consequence of this recent Supreme Court decision allowing unlimited corporate spending will, I think, eventually weather away this whole process of redistricting as we know now, and it'll lend towards something that may be more based upon consumer purchasing or where some kind of a demographic that will be corporate friendly. And you'll have a situation not unlike what you had in Chicago in the roaring 20s, where you had different areas of the city controlled by, different kinds of bosses. The most egregious example recently is what happened in Texas when the whole Democratic Texas legislature had to leave town in order to prevent all that gerrymandering
right.
that they were trying to do.
Interesting point. Interesting points. Thank you. And I'll get a response from Jeff in a minute on the corporate question. The origin of gerrymander, I believe, is that it was named after Elbridge Gerry, who was the governor of Massachusetts once upon a time when legislative districts were redrawn. This goes back to the early 1800s, drawn with some bizarre shapes to gain an electoral advantage. And so the word is a combination of his name, Gerry, and salamander, because one of the districts looked like a lizard. Correct, Jeff?
Yeah, it's actually, and we go into this in the film, it's sort of a cheeky part of the gerrymandering question. It's actually better pronounced gerrymandering because the man's name was Elbridge Gerry.
Uh-huh.
And the people, we went to Marblehead, Massachusetts, his hometown, on the 4th of July, and we talked to folks there, and they're kind of outraged about the fact that we all, the folks who don't live in Marblehead, call it gerrymandering when they know better.
Well, we'll have to get Gary Seinfeld on and, let them have a face-off about the name. You also give the example in the film about how Senator Barack Obama benefited from Gerry or gerrymandering. Basically, you make the assertion that he wouldn't be president today without it.
It's a case that definitely is there to be made, and I think it's a very compelling example. Not because it's somehow different from what other people do, but because it shows the degree to which the redistricting process can affect our electoral politics all down the line. You have a situation where Barack Obama was a state senator. He ran for Congress in 2000 against an incumbent, in some ways not unlike what happened to Hakeem. Barack scored well in the primary. The incumbent was scared. He drew Barack Obama's house out of the district, and then Barack had to figure out what he was going to do. So instead of mounting another congressional campaign for 2002 and moving, he redrew his state Senate district to run instead of running east to west through the south side of Chicago. It ran north-south along the Gold Coast of Chicago, and a lot of those folks who became his constituents became his donor base for that Senate run in 2004.
Mary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary. Mary, are Hello? You there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. My comment was that I recently spoke with a friend in Washington who has done some lobbying, and he feels that one of the reasons we have extreme partisanship in Washington is a result of gerrymandering, that districts are drawn so secure, whether it's on the far right or far left, that politicians don't have to in any way moderate what they say or do in order to appeal to a diverse spectrum of people. That it sort of exacerbates the extremism that we find in Washington and the dysfunction.
Right. If the world is cut up, or if a country is cut up into Republican congressional districts and Democratic congressional districts, you could see how a polarization will take place. Although, in fairness, the Congress has gone from Republican majority to Democratic majority and now threatens to go back again.
Yeah, the polarization question is actually, in terms of the redistricting community, it's one of the most hotly debated questions, because some folks trace polarization over time and see that, sometimes redistricting doesn't have as much effect as you would like, but it certainly doesn't help. And it certainly doesn't help when it creates a situation where individual legislators don't feel beholden to constituents. I think when it becomes more of a party machine in Washington and people are working just for their parties as opposed for individual constituents, you have a situation where, polarization is naturally going to spring from that.
One other New York issue here, Assemblyman Jeffries, prison-based gerrymandering is a big issue in New York. So here's one more clip from the film from an advocate who supports the effort here in New York to get prison populations counted in their home districts, not the prison district.
Perfect district from the perspective of an elected official would be your house and a large prison, because as long as your spouse is willing to vote for you, you're guaranteed re-election.
There's 7 New York State Senate districts that would not meet minimum population requirements without using the prisoners as padding.
districts are supposed to be based on population. But when prison populations are used to pad certain legislative districts at the expense of everybody else, we have a situation of representation without population.
So, Assemblyman, very briefly, former Mayor Ed Koch is now leading an effort to eliminate gerrymandering in the upcoming redistricting process once the census is taken. Each of the gubernatorial candidates running in New York this year has vowed to prevent gerrymandering, to go for non-political or non-partisan redistricting. Will there be a California-like independent panel in New York?
We're certainly hopeful. Assemblyman Gianaris has introduced a bill in the Assembly and is leading the effort that many of us support to eliminate as much partisanship and as much politics out of the redistricting process. And one of the aspects of that is trying to remove the prison population from certain upstate communities where they're solely being used for purposes of padding the electoral base of individuals who are then elected inconsistent with the substantive values of those individuals who are in prison and the communities that they're going to return home to.
And we've debated this with respect to the census as well. If prisoners get counted in the upstate rural communities where the state prisons are located, it brings funding for schools and political power and other things to those areas, even though so many of those prisoners come from the downstate area. The film, Gerrymandering, premieres tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Village East Cinema as part of the Tribeca Film Festival. The filmmaker, Jeff Reichert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries of Central Brooklyn, one of the subjects of that film, as well as an activist in Albany for nonpartisan redistricting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, an edict by the governor may protect New York's water supply from natural gas drilling. We'll find out why.